Welcome to Habs Unfiltered. This independent podcast is featured on the Hockey Writers and iHeartRadio, bringing you honest and unfiltered entertainment and discussion on the Montreal Canadiens and hockey news. Your hosts, Matt Smith, Treg Wilson, and Blaine Putney, are proud to be one of your trusted sources. If you are talking about it, so are we. And welcome back to Habs Unfiltered. I'm your host, Blaine Putney, and I'm joined now by my co-host, Treg Wilson.
Hello.
So, it's been an eventful week. The All-Star break is upon us. How are things?
Well, things are good. I will not pay any attention to the All-Star break.
I just said it to remind people that it's there.
Yeah. Things are good here. I'm getting excited about the trade deadline. I took over the Substack for the Hockey Writers, and I'll be yes. doing that. That's the new venture that the Hockey Writers are doing, where you get I compile all of the Montreal Canadiens writers, you, Blaine, and a few others, on our Ryan Bozer. Is that how you say Ryan's last name?
Bozer, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, your guys' articles, put them all together and into a Substack. That's you do a subscription for. It's free, but you also have the ability to do a paid subscription where you get special articles from me, where I divulge deeper into the interworkings of the Montreal Canadiens with all
so
my
where
knowledge.
Do you find it?
An insider at the Hockey Writer Substack. So you download the Substack app, you click on the Hockey Writers, and that's where you get it. Or just go on Twitter and click on a link that I'll throw on Twitter.
Bigger question in this Substack. How many R's are there in the insider?
There's 17.
Oh, you know it's serious.
Like, this is Kevin Weeks deep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm going to do the top of my head when I do a breaking thing and not just, like, eyes. Like, I'm just going to do from here up. That's how deep. So when we talk trade deadline, everything I'll say will be exactly what's going to happen.
Is it like that even though you're standing on top of a chair, or is that just, you know, like you on the ground?
Well, I'm only 5'6", so
yeah.
It depends on where the camera is. So like this
right.
chair here, I'll be honest, I can't really put my feet right on the ground because and it won't go down any
just
lower.
Kicking your
it
feet.
Sucks. I have to make this sure the wheels, the bottom of the chair is set up right so I can put my 2 feet on them.
So
short
now
king.
There's all this stuff in the Substack at the Hockey Writers, and we're going to cover a little bit of it because, well, we write it. So successful Habs deadline. The deadline's coming up. I know it's All-Star break weekend, whatever. But we're getting into the nitty-gritty for the Habs, and it's the deadline. We'll get into what a successful deadline is, but let's start off with the Lindholm trade and how that affects the value for Monahan, who is definitely being traded.
Yes. My insiders tell me, and anybody who has a logical brain in them will know that Monahan is definitely being traded. So it doesn't take an insider to figure that one out.
And now, a couple of weeks back, the talk was the Habs would be lucky to get a second for Monahan, which neither one of us agreed with that at the time either. We both felt a first would be the target.
I personally felt a first and probably only a first. Like, I didn't think there'd be much more to it. Like, I do know teams tend to overpay at the trade deadline to because they want to win the cup. They want the cup right now, especially a team that thinks it has a very good chance of winning the cup. But when you look at the Lindholm deal and you look at the fact that Monahan's pretty much having a better season than Lindholm on a crappier team, first may not do it and we know Ken Hughes does not really back too far down from what he wants. So it could be a very exciting, that one trade could just be all they need to have a successful trade deadline, really. As long as you trade Monahan and get a first plus, you've already won your trade deadline and the conversation.
Well, you look at what Lindholm had, and let's be honest, Lindholm was clearly the top center available at the deadline, and now he's gone. He's off the board. He's gone to the Canucks, and the Canucks got a first round pick. The Canucks, the Flames got a first
Flames.
round pick. They got Kuzmenko, who is a decent NHL player. They've got an A minus prospect in Brzezinski, the defenseman in the OHL, who is putting up tons of points. I think he's third in the league for points. Anyway, so he's ripping it up there, but defensively there might be some issues. But whatever, he's a D plus one. Yanni Yermo, another prospect, and a conditional pick. So you look at that for a guy who's having a down year. Now the center market is very, very thin. It's essentially Monahan and a couple of others that may or may not be available. I don't see a second round pick pulling it off this time.
Well, like you said, Lindholm basically got a haul. Kuzmenko, we knew he was on the block. We knew Calgary wanted to trade him, or not Calgary. I'm doing what you're doing. Vancouver wanted to trade him. He had 21 points in 43 games, but it came after a season where he scored 39 goals with 74 points. So he was kind of, for a team as good as Vancouver is, he was kind of not producing the way they had hoped. But that also, I mean, good for Calgary because who knows, maybe pairing him up with Kadri when he comes back from injury or something like that will make him better, changes the whole change of scenery thing. But the thing about Lindholm is Lindholm's also good at making players around him better. Gaudreau had his best season when he played with Lindholm. Tkachuk had a better season. Well, Tkachuk played well against him, but he had his best season after he left. But so now we have Monahan, who has 13 goals, 35 points in 49 games, where Lindholm had 9 goals and 32 points in 49 games. So they're basically, and Mount Monahan plays on a worse team, playing literally on the third line with Armia and Slafkovský now, which, by the way, the last two games has been a great line. And we can talk about Armia later, but I think Armia is having a great season for the Canadians, considering. I wouldn't say great, but a good season, considering. So really, you look at what he got, and you look at Monahan's numbers, and you look at where he's playing, the fact he can play the wing and be just as effective as he is as a center. He can play on the penalty kill. He plays on the power play. He's like fifth in the league in face-off percentage with 55%. If you're not getting a first plus for him, that's kind of a loss, I think.
Even though they got him
Consider it.
for, essentially they got him, they took a first round pick just to take him. So
Right.
anything more you get is gravy. But like you said, the way he's been playing this year, how he impacts the game at every single stage, in every situation, at the end of games, at the start of games, when you need a goal, when you're down a goal, all of it. He could impact a contending team in the same way, on a third line, perhaps. Up on the wing on the second line, like he can move around. He's got that ability to move around the lineup that Lindholm has a little bit, but Monahan a little bit better
Well,
in that way.
Lindholm's a center. Lindholm's a center, and he's traded to be a center. He's going to go to Vancouver and be a center. Monahan's a
He's
center,
gonna
and if
help
you
him.
have Monahan as your third line center on a contending team, you're pretty deep, and that's what you want for a good playoff run. But like you said, this is a guy you can move up onto the second or even first line on a wing if you need that extra oomph to get some scoring, or if you need that, or whatever you need. Monahan's the guy. Now there's lots of talk of where he's going to go or who might want him. And I'm open to all of them. Our good friend Jeremy, he's writing an article now about Toronto trading for Monahan. over in Editor and Leaf. That's Editor and Leaf, the website, not the idiot Editor and Leaf Twitter guy.
Be very clear.
Be
Two
very clear.
Separate things.
Just be very clear. So that shows that even fans of these contending teams are very interested in getting Monahan. And it's going to be a bidding war. So here's two things. I know I'm rambling on here, but here's two things about Monahan that make him better than Lindholm. His contract's only 1 point some odd million dollars. If Montreal wants to retain half of that, you're looking at 500 grand for this guy to go through the playoffs. Montreal might do that because it's over at the end of the year and they're not stuck with it next year like they are with Petrie. Second, what else? I forget what I was going to say. and second, Monahan, like we said, Monahan can play anywhere you want him to play, which is another thing on Lindholm. And I think he has more potential to be a better player going into the playoffs than Lindholm does. So I think if Hughes just settles for a first, now I think if he just settled for a first, he kind of didn't get enough for what he could get. I mean, I know you did an article not too long ago, maybe he should go after prospects instead of going after draft picks. But with Monahan, you can get both. And I think it could be an A-level prospect and not a B-level prospect and a first-round pick if you got the right team.
I'm not sure if you can get a first and an A-level prospect, but I know you can definitely get an A-level prospect and some kind of pick. And that's what I would definitely be leaning towards because Canadians, they've had a ton of picks already. They've got 22 picks over this year and next. That includes, I think it's 5 top 60 picks over the next 2 seasons. So why not try and get a prospect that fits a need? So you've gotten more of a sample size that you can assess them, see where they fit. And maybe you get someone that doesn't really fit the other team's program, but fits yours.
Yeah, they have 29 picks over the next 3 seasons. If they don't, as of right now, they only have 2 picks in the first 2 rounds this season. So that's why I think they may, the first round pick, maybe if they can get it, they're going to go for it. I still think they can get an A-level type prospect depending on the team. I mean, if we're talking Toronto, you're looking at Minton or Cowan. So they're second round picks, I think, or they're when they were drafted. I think one was a late first and the other was a second. So that's their top picks, not necessarily. So it will all depend on what team they're dealing with. Like, you know, you can't go after. I mean, I know there's talk with the Rangers and Keiko, whether that's a top prospect or not anymore is whether he's not really considered a prospect anymore, to be honest with you. It's just a young player. So,
And I wrote another article earlier than that, even talking about how the Canadians could be partial buyers, and that included looking at young players. You're trading away these guys. You can pick up assets for them, but you can turn around, flip those assets for something else. So you can get a better player that you would be targeting, that you can package something up. It doesn't necessarily have to be at the deadline. It could be in the summer too.
Well, that's why I think maybe that's why I'm leaning more towards the first pick, because they could do a doc type trade at the deadline with that later first round pick. And because it's going to be somewhere in the 20s, we're not looking at, we're not looking at a team that's getting a player just to make it into the playoffs and then they're out in the first round. So you're drafted 17 or 18. We're looking at probably 25 or up if I'm a betting guy on whatever team he goes to. So they could take that pick and something else and trade it down to a lower pick and trade that for in a dock type situation like they did with on the dock night or with Newhook when they traded a late first round pick to get Newhook. I think it was a late first round pick if I'm not mistaken.
It was late one.
And they could do that Or they could package something to get another earlier or higher pick in the draft. This draft is defense heavy. So it'll depend on how teams are drafting, I guess.
There's some very good forwards available in that up towards the top 10 where they're at.
Well, this is what I mean, this is a di kind of a different subject, but it kind of all ties in together. But I'm kind of excited about this year, because even if they draft at 7, which is I think is where they're sitting right now,
Yeah.
they could possibly get a Lindstrom and a Demidov and a Katten or Iginla, or all depends on who you. I mean, personally, I'm a Lindstrom. I'm going to go with Lindstrom and Demidov if I'm going to pick anyone if they're available. But
True.
I feel Demidov's going to be gone before that. But you never know, because you don't know who's going to take the defenseman, because this is a very heavy defensive, you know. And then you have Yzerman, who nobody knows really how this guy's going to turn out right now. Before he was like what,
Yeah.
you know, 1 and 2 to
Now he's 7 or 8.
Cerabini or whatever the hell his name is, and now he's like. He seems to be dropping, so it'll be interesting. Anyway, back to the trade. Monahan first plus is what I'm looking at for Monahan. Could be first plus plus, depending on what the pluses are.
Yeah. And I mean, we're looking at what would help make a successful deadline. And for me, that's part of it. That's a major part of it. What you get back for Monahan, because you know he's moving. You need to get something of high value. And you don't want it to necessarily be a defenseman either. You need something to help up front. You
Yeah,
do
yeah.
need some more. They need scoring. But what else could happen to help the Canadians have a successful deadline, and that's not oversell. You want to keep a couple of veterans.
So, in my article I wrote on the Substack, the paid article, it was one of those Savard or Matheson. It's what was one of my was one of my things, because everyone talks. There's a group of young NHL or a young defenseman coming up, and you're going to need to make room for them. Savard, in my opinion, is the one. If they're going to trade one at this deadline, it should be Savard, not Matheson, because Savard, who I mean, you're going to get a hell of a return for Savard just for the simple fact that he's a bottom pairing defenseman that's playing top pairing minutes and succeeding at his job, on a very poor and a very weak defensive Montreal Canadiens team. We have a shitty penalty kill. It would be even shittier. It's even shittier when Savard's not on it. I mean, the man makes more saves than the goalie does on most penalty kills. But the thing with Savard is he can be replaced by what they have now, like a Jaden Struble. Yes, I know one's a left and one's a right, but this is my point is you're still getting that type of player in your lineup. It doesn't really matter. And you have Arbor Jacki, who, you know, if he quits taking the penalties, and you can get rid of all the conspiracy theories on Arbor Jacki. I don't think the team hates him. If they hated him and they didn't want him, he wouldn't be. I mean, Martin St. Louis, what do you think of him taking bad penalties? I don't like it. Headline: Martin St. Louis hates Arbor Jacki. No, he's a coach that doesn't like a player taking bad penalties. It's hockey.
What coach doesn't love bad penalties? I
Yeah.
mean, they all do.
And the thing with, I mean, Harris didn't play in a week, and the Montreal has a week off. They're going to get him into a game. So, hey, Jacki, you just played the last two. You're sitting. Anyway, enough of that. So they have the players that can fill in. Logan Mailloux, even though it's going to be more offensive, he could fill it. Like, there's all these young guys, Jordan Harris, Kovacevic. They can all fill in Savard's role, and be successful at it. Maybe not to his level yet, but Struble and Gouley are pretty much there. So you have two guys that have, with Matheson, who I do agree, you got to sell high on Matheson, and Matheson's high right now. You got to make sure Lane Hudson's ready to step into the NHL and ready to take Matheson's role. Because right now there's
Yeah.
nobody on that team. There's nobody on that team that can take Matheson's role. I don't care. I get it. He doesn't pass to Slafkovský. I understand that, but he still knows how to run a power play, right? Even
Yeah.
though he should pass more to Slafkovský. He's like the Petrie to Caulfield. I don't know what it is.
And Hudson is more than like I would say he's going to play NHL games this year, but you're right. He is not ready to take over that role.
Well, we don't know. That's all I'm saying. I don't think he's ready. I think maybe next year, maybe if he starts the season and has a or starts the season in the AHL, gets some games under his feet and moves on. But I mean, he's as soon as his season's over, he's going to get one or two games here in the NHL just to see how he fits and what he can do. But if he's your guy and he is your guy, that's going to take that Matheson role, that high offensive defenseman role. You have to make sure he's ready before you get rid of the guy that's already in there. And I know some people have said, oh, well, Gooley or Harris, or we already know Harris and Barron are not ready to take on that responsibility. If they were, they would be playing. Harris wouldn't be scratched all the time, and Barron wouldn't be in Laval. So, yeah. So that's why I think if they're going to trade one of the defensemen, and they don't have to trade either one of them. Savard is more value right now. I wouldn't trade him in the offseason. I'd either trade him at this trade deadline or next trade deadline because you're going to get full value out of him. Maybe in a first round pick. For some reason, big defensemen like him, every team wants for the playoffs and they're willing to throw whatever they can at them. Look at Ben Sherratt.
Yeah, look at Tampa Bay with David Smart.
David Savard. Tanner Janot. A fourth liner, and they gave up like 40,000. It was like a CHL friggin' trade. It was like eight draft picks.
When a team only has one piece left to complete their puzzle in their view, not every team's going to have that, but Tampa did really well over the last little while. But if they're only missing one piece, they're going to pay handsomely to get that. They want to guarantee they get what they want. So yeah, there may be an overpay. If there is, see ya.
Now I'm not saying Savard will get moved at this deadline.
No.
I think there's a possibility of it. I don't have an issue with it. But if you're going to trade him, it's going to be at either this deadline or next deadline, not in the off season. Jake Allen, I'd say trading him fixes a problem. It doesn't really make your draft any successful. The
No.
goalie market is still there, but it's not what it was. Stuart Skinner has pretty much got Edmonton all right, Edmonton, so Edmonton's not worried. And you're not getting Allen to be your number one goalie. You're getting him to be your insurance goalie on a playoff run. So at 3.8 million with 1 year left, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what you would get for Allen. It's not going to be a first, that's for sure, but.
Does it really matter? I mean, if you're moving him out, it's more to create space for Montembeau and Hayden Primo, and what you get back is gravy. If it's anything more than cap space.
And I think the went around that Toronto was asking for a low draft pick, try offering like a fifth, sixth, or seventh. I mean, a third I think would be good for Allen. He does have experience. He can help your team, but if he doesn't go now, I think he goes in the off season. So we'll see. I don't think he's here next year, regardless.
And if it's a third or a fourth, if that team takes on the entire cap hit, that's a good trade for both sides.
And I don't see Montreal taking on half the value of the cap hit because
No, no.
that would leave them with two retained cap salaries, and they're only left with one for next season. So I just
Yeah,
don't see it
and
happening. And
they're going to want that flexibility.
if they can get rid of Tanner Pearson, I don't know what you get for him, but I mean, he's a UFA.
He may end up being a self rent, their an own rental, just to have a veteran presence on the lineup.
But I'm going to bring up a name. I want to see what you think. And they're actually an RFA next season. Jesse Ylönen. Ylönen isn't getting the playing time I feel he should get. He's stuck on the fourth line, yet he per 60 is one of the best hat players on the team. Maybe, just maybe, some teams are going, hey, we like this young guy. You're not really playing him. What are your plans for him? And maybe he gives you something, gets you something back. Who knows? I'm just throwing it out there. It's just a thought.
I'm not against moving him. I wouldn't be against it, but it depends on the value in return because like you, I think he should be getting more ice time. Like you, I think he's earn that ice time, and he could give the team a lot more. But on the other hand, he is a type of player that they have more than one of in the system.
Well, that's just it. I think he's an Atturi Lehkonen type player. And I think he should be getting more minutes, but that's what you got to ask you. Like, okay, he's an RFA. He's not getting a lot of time. If he's not their future, why are we hanging on? You know, let's give him. But then again, he could be that guy you trade, and all of a sudden becomes this 30 goal scoring, 70 point freaking winger on, I don't know, San Jose or something. And you're wondering why the hell you traded him in the first place.
Which is why, so anyway, I think if you can move some veterans out, especially up forward, you give him a bigger role and then see what he has.
And then see what he has. Yeah. And that's what I think is the issue now, is you just don't know what he, you just don't know what he has.
And for me, that is what would make this a successful deadline. If there's any one thing at the deadline that would make this a success, it's moving out enough players to provide larger roles for the youth. And then actually seeing what you have on hand before you go to the draft and go into the trade section in the summer.
Especially for someone like Joshua Waugh, who I thought he probably deserves, like Struble, I think he deserves to stay in Montreal for the rest of the season. I was a firm keep him in Laval guy, but when I watched his, what, three games I think he played in Montreal? Two, three?
Yeah. Got 2 points in three games.
I was impressed. I was impressed. Yeah. He handled himself. First game, he was a little, of course, a little whatever. Mm-hmm. But he, by the second game, you're like, wow, this guy
is a top six player.
This guy's a top six player.
So by next year, I think he is going to be on the roster. Mm-hmm. And there's an outside chance that Mayu is on the roster as well, which shakes things up on the blue line. But just keeping to the forward group itself, bringing Dubois up changes things for next year. They don't have to hold on to some of these veterans, which again makes it important to move some out at this point in time.
Out for sure. The only issue is a lot of the veterans I'd like to see moved out are centers, like Dvorak and but Armia. He's a free agent after next season. I think Armia is having a pretty good season, considering he's doing his job well. He took his demotion to Laval like a professional. He's great on the penalty kill. He's been, I think he's playing great with Monahan and Slafkovský, although I don't like Slafkovský being on the third line and not the first line, because I thought he did well there as well. But how can you complain when lines work? So, yeah, we'll see, because he could be a guy that moves at this deadline. I doubt it, not at 3.4 for the next 2 years for what he produces.
Yeah.
But it could be an off-season acquisition, and he could be the trade deadline guy next year that people are looking forward to.
Be part of a cap balancing kind of deal too.
Yeah, and I don't see him getting. Don't get me wrong, I don't see him getting a first or anything, but he could be there. He could be their guy. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Now, before we go to commercial and then come back with the next segment, which is our mailbag, what is the one item you think is going to make this a successful deadline?
I think whatever you get from Monahan makes this a successful deadline. Even if you don't get rid of anybody else, I think the fact that Lindholm set the table for everyone else, a first and a good prospect, and I think you did everything you needed to do at this deadline. If you can move Jake Allen, that's a super plus win, because you're getting that money off the table and you're fixing your goaltending issue, and you can bring up an extra forward or defenseman. So, you know, have that ability to not play just three centers because you don't have enough people. So that to me would make this successful. I look at it, I don't see a lot Montreal is really going to move, really, to be honest with you, because there's only two UFAs, well, three if you count Chris Weidman, but he's on Robidoux Island. So
he's legitimately hurt
with a bad back.
He's legitimately hurt, otherwise he'd be pushing for a job.
yeah But so to me, yeah, get rid of Allen and whatever you get back for Monahan, and you've had a set. The opposite of what happened last year, where they did nothing. So.
Yeah. So a successful deadline is the anti-2023 deadline.
Correct.
All right. So we'll end there. We're gonna go to a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're gonna answer the mailbag questions. We got a couple of really, really good ones. So enjoy the commercials, I suppose, and we'll see you right after this. Welcome back to Habs Unfiltered. Those were amazing commercials. I
Love
hope
them.
that the geocache commercials for you were as good for us.
Love them.
It's amazing. Well chosen.
I'm gonna go geocaching right now.
Yeah, that's definitely something I'm gonna do. All right, so this is the mailbag portion. We put out a couple of posts through the week asking people to send in some questions. We got a couple of really, really good questions that I think we kind of touched on a little bit in the first half, but we'll go into it in this half here. So we got one from on Facebook from Rob Schultz, who's he follows us for, you know, it's been quite a while, and he's got some really great comments
Sorry about that,
throughout.
Rob.
Yeah, well, some people just it's self-flagellation.
Yeah, I hope your life gets better.
Fair. There's support groups. So Rob asks, is it conceivable that Monahan gets traded at the deadline and then re-signs with the Canadiens this summer? And his suggestion is maybe 3 to 4 years at 4 to 4.5 million. What do you think?
No, I don't think he re-signs with the Canadiens. I think he gets traded at the deadline for sure. But I don't think the Canadian. I think they're. Although I wouldn't mind it, and I don't think that the contractor what he said is bad. I think that would be a good thing for Monahan. I just think he'll go some other team that's closer to winning cups and closer to doing that kind of thing, like Boston or. Maybe the team he goes to, like, which is rumored to be the Rangers or the Avalanche. I think they'll take him. If he can sign for Montreal for 3 to 4 at 3 to 4 million, then he'll go somewhere else at 3 to 4 at 3 to 4 million. So,
Yeah, and I agree. I think it's plausible that he can
yeah.
go back to Montreal in the summer. Absolutely. But like you said, if he goes to a team like Colorado or New York, for instance, and they do well, I'm not saying win the cup or anything, but even if they just win a series, maybe two, and they see him as a good midterm solution, they'll offer them that kind of money anyway. So why would he want to go to Montreal, where they're up and coming, but they're not there, when you can stay with a team like Colorado, who is right there in the thick of things? And the Rangers, despite all the issues they've had this year, are another team that honestly could contend. I mean, they're first in the Metro, aren't they?
Something like that. I don't have the standings right in front of me, but the Rangers
Yeah.
are. Let's look this up. We got time. All the time in the world. NHL standings. The Rangers are first in the Metro. Yeah, 63 points. And the Rangers are eighth overall. So,
Which is pretty good.
well, yeah, they're 3 points from being fourth overall, so it's not like it's far. But yeah, I
Goaltending
just
falls into
believe,
place.
especially next year when you're going to have Jake Evans, you're going to have Dvorak back, you're going to have Nick Suzuki, and I think they're going to make room for
Owen Beck.
Owen Beck. So even though Monahan can play the wing, but then like we mentioned earlier in the show, Joshua Waugh is probably going to be on the team next year. We're going to want Jesse Ylönen to have higher minutes. You might see Emil Heinemann as a regular in the lineup next year. And Montreal's at that stage in the rebuild where they got to start letting these younger guys get their NHL time, get their feet wet, so they know exactly where they are with these players. Just because you're successful in the AHL doesn't make you successful in the NHL. You hope it does. It's a good gauge to see how, but we've seen it time and time again because they're all playing in the watered down KHL right now, like Reid Boucher and Jordan Wheel, and kicking ass, unlike some young Russian players who
Darren
fans,
Dietz.
yeah, who fans wanted drafted and didn't. So I mean, it's just yeah. So I again, Rob, I like your term and I like your money. The only way I see it happening is if Monahan looks at what Montreal's done for him, signing him the show me deal, just so he can come out and have a great NHL season. He bet on himself, and they, if the rumors are true, they said that they would trade him to a contender at the deadline. Basically, and Hughes has been pretty good with the players and getting them what they want and putting them to where they want. I mean, hell, he traded Petrie and traded back for him and traded him again just to get him to Detroit. That's how dedicated he was to get Petrie to Detroit. You never know. Maybe he'll say, you know what? I had my shot with the contending team. We didn't make it. I want to help build this team. But I just highly doubt it. I just think if he can get the same amount of money in term with a team that has a possibility to win a cup at his age, that's where he's going to go. Even though he's not old, he's only what, 30, 29, 30.
29.
Sean Monahan, 29, so 30 next year. Yeah, he's not old, but
I mean, he's 4 years younger than John Tavares.
he had the same amount of points for 9 million less. Just saying, playing on a offensively, very offensively worse team. Just
True.
saying, just saying.
Which again should help his trade value. But like you were saying, he's more than likely to stay somewhere else. And that's not taking into account the fact that the Canadians, we mentioned Beck earlier, there could be some other surprises. Maybe they traded for somebody at the deadline that they're going to want to keep, as a
Yeah, you
young
never
guy
know.
that plays center. Maybe Oliver Kapanen comes into camp, signs a contract, comes into camp and surprises. Like, we just don't know. So maybe he does not want to come back and play that what if game.
And yeah, I mean, then you'll have new hook back next year. Your top six is pretty much even at
Machar.
wing. Massar is going to be around. Like I say, your top six pretty much made. With Doc and Newhook coming back, Slafkovský, Nick Cole, and all that kind of stuff. It's just a matter of he's going to be a third line player again, filling in case,
Injuries.
injuries and stuff where he could be, you're our this guy. You're our second line right winger or a third line center on a contending team that could win a cup.
Yeah, and the value that he placed in that deal, that 4 year to 5 year deal at about four and a half, I think that's almost exactly where he's going to be. Even if
Yeah.
he goes on and wins a cup, the team re-signs him. Unless he's getting 50 goals and then over the next few months, I don't see it bumping up much higher than that.
No, he's not going to get back to his 6 million a year. He's not going to be the 80-point guy that he was. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? When you play with Nate MacKinnon, anything can happen. But look at Jonathan Drouin, who's having a great year. Which I'm glad because I wanted him to have a good year.
Exactly.
But you never know. I mean, and look at Boston. Boston is kind of hurting for centers. He'd be a perfect fit in Boston if he went to the Bruins in the
Honestly,
offseason.
you can probably name off like eight teams that need a center that he would fit.
And like I say, I'm not saying it's 100% not going to happen, but I wouldn't put any bets on it on Betway or anything like that. So,
All right. So, Rob, thank you very much for that question. That was an excellent question and well thought out. The next question, and this one comes from House Bender on Twitter.
House Bender. Okay.
House Bender. How and when do you think the Habs will finally get the star power scoring they need to compete?
That's a good question. It's going to happen at the draft or in this offseason. I think Ken Hughes is cooking up something to get a star. I think, you know what? I think Elias Patterson's in their crosshairs. I think there's a lot of young players that they're looking at. Zegras, where there's smoke, there's fire. I think Zegras is, he's good, best friends with Cole Caulfield. I see no reason why they wouldn't be going after him. And I think they're going to do their best to draft the best forward out there to give him. Now, mind you, this draft, I don't think has that 100-point
star
scorer
power.
In there. Elite.
Well, maybe.
Demidov. I don't even know if I'm saying his name right. I think it's Demidov.
Demidov, yeah.
Yeah, Demidov. I think he's going to be better than Michkov projects to be, even though Michkov's doing these things that everyone says he's doing.
On a shit team, yeah.
On a shit team, in a shit league, with more minutes than the people he's breaking records against. Anyway, let's forget all that narrative. I think he's going to be a better all-around player because he actually plays defense. And he can score, and he has the skill, and he has the shot. So if they can draft him, I think Lindstrom's one of those guys right up there that could be a point-per-game player. I agree at some point that you don't need this elite offensive, but if you can get consistent point per game players that make everybody else around them better, that's how you project a team like a Patrice Bergeron. Patrice Bergeron was a point per game player once, but he made everyone else around him better, and he made them point per game players, and he made them star power. And I do believe we need more offense. We need more elite. Yeah. We need some type of star power. I think it's either going to come through the draft with whoever they draft in the first round. And if they draft a defenseman, I'm going to throw something through the television. But I believe they're looking at, I think he's looking at making a trade. I think he's looking at moving something or trying to get a free agent in here that's going to, give him that star power, and it's going to be probably a guy under the age of 26. Because that's kind of the range. He's looking at the 22. Everything he's done is between the 22, 26 age range. And so, yes, I do believe they're going to get one, and I think it's going to be as early as this offseason. If it's in the draft, they may not play as early as this next season, but they're going to be there when they need, when the time comes.
Now, looking at the Canadiens roster when healthy, like you mentioned Doc and Newhook, those two added to the Canadiens roster this year, that would be, what, 4, 5, maybe 6 more wins. I'm not saying they're better. It's not that much better, but it does make a difference.
They're not a playoff team, but they're not so far out of the play. Because really, they're not that far out of the playoffs right now. They're only 8 points out of the playoffs now. Yeah. They're just not jumping 6 teams to make the playoffs.
For now, well, until they start selling. I
mean, they're also only 4 points from drafted fifth. But anyway, you know, but that's just the way the league's been. They're on pace for 80 points, which we said at the beginning. That's where they're probably going to sit. I thought 80 points would have them further up in the standings this year.
Yeah,
But really, even when they're a 500 team, they haven't moved higher than drafting 11th. So, but they haven't moved lower than drafting 7th either. So,
can't really be upset though with the team improving despite the injuries. So, seeing an improvement in the standings in the wins and all that, but still being down lower in the standings.
Yeah,
I'm all for that.
But that's what you want to see. And we are one of our very first shows this season. We said, I think I wrote an article about it. What would make this year successful? And I said, not making the playoffs, finishing low enough, you get a good pick, but not so low that you're like you were last year. So showing improvement, but seeing all the other guys improve, like Slavkovsky, Caulfield, Doc, who was injured, so we don't really know. You know, Gouley.
Four periods were amazing.
Blah, 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 blah. And then you have Struble coming up, proven he's an NHL player. I had Struble as trade bait because I didn't know where he'd fit in. And now I'm looking at it. Well, he's our third pairing defenseman that's going to get the job done. So that's, to me, this season is already a success. Just seeing that the injuries, even though the demand games are piling up, they're actually not as bad as they were last year. They're just two more important people than they were last year. But Newhook, I think, will be back after the All-Star break.
He's skating
now. Close to it. He's skating now. We're not going to see Doc till next year. But you're absolutely right. If Newhook and Doc were playing, I said they're going to draft between 10 and 15 if healthy. I stand by that. I still think if those two guys were healthy, they'd be drafting closer to 15 than they would be to 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
So really,
now
these injuries have been kind of helping us, really.
A little bit. And when you think about the roster next season with them in the roster, Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský, who's taken big steps forward, he'll be 20 years old. He'll be a little bit stronger, a little bit more experienced. You're going to have that high draft pick who could easily be Ivan Demidov, as you mentioned, or Cole Eiserman, who's sliding for some reason, who's going, by the way, to Boston University next year. And we all know how much Hughes loves those guys. So you got that opportunity for a little bit of a shine, an all-star type player. But like you said, the question is a star player. Zegras kind of fits that because most people in Montreal, for them, star player means the fancy plays, putting up points. It's not necessarily tight, tough defense. And that's what Zegras brings, not the defense side, the offense.
You also got to look at perspective. Like when you say elite, to me, elite is Leon Draisaitl. To me, elite is Austin Matthews. To me, elite is William Nylander. And I know I'm throwing some Toronto names out there. To me, elite is Malkin when he was younger. Guys like that. Then you have your generational guys like McDavid and Crosby. And you know what? I'm not naming any more than that because I think this generational word is thrown out there at anyone who looks like they may have a cool-looking shot. Bedard.
I mean, generational is the best player over a 10-year span. So every 10 years, you get this one guy who just really, really stands out.
And Crosby's been doing it for what, 20 years now? So
almost,
And McDavid, and I mean, I think Draisaitl's on that cusp of being generational slash elite. But you have, this is the guys I'm talking about as general elite players are, I hate to say it, but Brad Marchand's kind of pushing that elite status. I don't know if he's quite elite yet. I don't know if you would quite put him elite, but he's up around there.
I'd say all-star, but elite.
So really it's all what you think is it like, oh, we need elite scoring. I think you just need a point per game guy, a flashy guy, a guy that's going to a PK Subban type guy forward who gets the people out of their seats and sharing you already kind of have Cole Caulfield there. I just don't think he's going to get the points that you want from this guy. He's not going to be he could be. He's almost a point per game guy now. But now that I think about it, he could be. That's who I believe. He doesn't have to be a 100-point scorer, but he would have the potential to score 100 points. He has the potential to – a Kovalev. What we want is a Kovalev. I'd be happy with an 82-point Kovalev. How's that sound?
That's Zegras, essentially.
Yeah, I'd be happy with that. So, I mean, Kovalev could have scored 210 points a season. He just didn't want to. I truly believe that. I truly believe Kovalev, if he really wanted to, could have broke records. And he was just like, I don't want to.
It's too much work. Too much work. No, but to get back to the question, though, I agree with you. I think Hughes has a plan in mind, and it's going to be there's going to be some big pieces played out at the deadline and into the summer. We mentioned Zegras. It's not necessarily a Zegras. It could be someone that we haven't even mentioned. Just out of left field.
A Patterson, a Zegras could be I don't know. Anybody. So, like you said, so I can't even think of people right now that,
Yeah.
Kiprizov there in Minnesota for some odd reason. That's, we should call our buddy Billy Garrett. I'm saying, Billy,
What do you think?
what do you think?
What do you think? Well, it could be, I don't know, Jesus. It could be anyone really. There's so many names out there. Anton Lundell, who's like underrated but suddenly fucking finds himself. I don't know. Elias Pettersson, you mentioned him.
Elias
I don't know if
Pettersson,
he's gonna leave Vancouver, but
someone out of LA.
you never know. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, I'm not, I don't see, I have the free agents up in front of me here, but it's just, or even RFA. It's like he could go after an RFA and try to get someone who's,
Who fits that
who fits that mold,
core
right?
group?
So,
Yeah.
shoot. I don't know what I'm doing. I got two computers on the go. You're going to look at my chest for a minute.
Yeah, so maybe they go to Edmonton and get a Dylan Holloway for provide Edmonton pieces they need for the run, but because Holloway's not filling a big role for them, they take him instead. And there's a guy.
Maybe they go right against the grain and get Steve Stamkos.
Done.
Done. But yeah, I'm just trying to look at some young free agents out there. But Victor Mete is a free agent next year. Hey, this guy,
Thank
some
God,
people thought this
yes.
guy was going to be the next Norris Trophy winner. So you can't go
Toronto
wrong with
fixed him.
Victor Mete.
Toronto
Can't
fixed
go
him.
wrong with Victor Mete. Yeah, who knows? I can't really think of anyone right now, but I'm sure Pettersson, Zegras are the only names that really come up in my mind. Jake Guentzel, he's 29, but he could be on the move. He's a UFA next year.
The Canadians do have the assets to trade to get themselves a big piece. If they're willing to give
They
up,
do. They do.
they're willing to give up some of their good young defensemen, some of their picks, maybe a young forward. They could definitely get something big.
Oh, totally agree.
Tom Wilson big, but big.
So I mean next year RFA is next year. Quentin Byfield's an RFA. Elias Pettersson, Lucas Raymond, Martin Neskesh, Casey Mittelstadt. Now a lot of these guys, the teams aren't going to move, but I'm just saying if they have the assets and say,
Sebastian
hey,
Aho.
For Kotkaniemi, straight up. Maybe they'll get Kotkaniemi back and fix them.
Well, once he's bought out, yeah, absolutely. Or they'll kidnap Alexander Barkov and take him into Montreal.
And I mean, we're just throwing out names. I was just looking at the RFA list for next
Yeah.
year. It could be, who knows? Like you said, it could be someone out of left field that no one's even thinking about, like, Zinabash or something from the Rangers, and all of a sudden there's this big deal, and they pick up Panarin or something. I don't know. Like, it's Panarin. Like, again, don't take this and say, Wilson said they're going to trade for this guy. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just throwing names at possibilities. I'll check with my insiders and I'll get back to you.
But to get back to the question, I think that it's going to be trade and it's going to be within the next year that he gets that piece that he's looking for. Because I know he talked about the team not needing stars, and you talked about Bergeron being that guy who helps others attain their peaks. So it may be trading for a guy that's not necessarily that star player, but does what Bergeron did and help others reach their ultimate potential, which could be as a star player. They already have some of those guys. Like if they do draft someone like a Demidov, he could need a guy like that to take out the best of him in the NHL.
You also got to look at what they already have. Cole Caulfield, I still think, is potentially a 50-goal scorer. Nick Suzuki, I still think, has the potential to be a point-per-game player. I think Slafkovský is going to be a hell of a power forward in the NHL. I don't even know what his ceiling's going to be from watching him. Like, for me, I was like, ah, he's going to be a 60, 70 point guy. Now, I don't know. He still hasn't even moved up to that next level, but you see him progressing every single game. I think if you take his, I think he's on a 60 point scoring pace since Christmas.
Yeah. And let's say he
like
never
that.
Gets past 65. The
Who
way
cares?
He impacts a game.
Offensively and defensively. Yep. He's going to be a great two-way guy. He should be on the penalty kill for Montreal right now. But so you got
get passes when he's on the power play.
Whatever. Wow. Could be a 50-goal scorer if he did. So they have the potential there, and then they have players they can move out over the next couple of years that hopefully they can get, although they're losing value like Josh Anderson and that, but hopefully they can get something back for him. And all the young defensemen they have that have top four potential right there is going to get you something in return that's going to improve your team forward-wise. I mean,
that's right.
You're not keeping all of Jordan Harris, Justin Barron, Logan Mayhew, Jack Eye, Struble, Hudson, that Russian guy, if he ever comes over, Bogdan. You're not keeping all these guys. So something's got to go. And who knows, maybe Jordan Harris is on the trade block, or Justin Barron, or who knows? Who knows? But
I don't think there's too many non-untouchables with Montreal.
I don't think
there's a couple.
Any. Suzuki and Caulfield, I think, the only two untouchables in Montreal.
Slafkovský right now, too.
Yeah, Slafkovský, Hudson, I would say, too. But other than that...
Yeah. Just because he hasn't really reached his potential, and they wouldn't get the top value for him now.
No.
Yeah.
But anyway, to go back to the question, yes, he's going to get his star power, depending on what your star power is. And it's going to be, I think, in this offseason, either through the draft or through a trade or free agency or something. Most likely a trade. Most likely a trade.
So that's pretty much it. There was a couple others, but they kind of tied into those two questions. It seems that the Habs fans are kind of all thinking the same thing. When are we going to get our star, and how much is it going to cost us? And can we get the guys back that we traded to get them?
They're going to trade Yolonen to Philadelphia for Mishkov.
Oh, that's an unfair trade. Montreal's overpaying.
Come on now. I think Mishkov's going to be a good player, just not generational. Yeah, we'll see.
Told otherwise, but we'll see.
We'll see. We will see.
Before we take off,
yeah.
What do you think would do you think it's like this is just a bonus thing that I just thought of here now. Mm. It's a question for you. Do you think we're going to see Lane Hudson and David Reinbacher as a pairing before the end of the season?
Hudson, yes. Actually, yes. I'm going to say yes to both because I think both their seasons are going to be over before the NHL ends, and they're going to come over. Whether you see them at the same time, I don't know, but I think you'll
same
see
time
them
on the
in
same
Montreal.
Pair.
I think that's a future pairing anyway. I think The whole point of getting Reinbacher is to pair him with Hudson. So Hudson can be just, all right, I'm going to go do my thing, and Reinbacher is going to be like, you go do that, buddy. And I do believe you're going to see both of them by the end of the year in Montreal for a game or two. I don't think it's going to be I think they'll be in Laval next year, honestly, but I think they'll get a game.
It won't be no Ryan Poehling. Let's keep it steady here.
Hudson's going to get 8 points his first game, 3 goals, 5 assists. Reinbacher's going to have 2 assists and 8 block shots.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to shut up. They won't know what to do. Everyone's going to predict that they're going to be 150-point scorers. And I'm going to say Ryan Poehling is going to be a second-line center like I did back then. Where's that Habs bad takes guy? Why didn't he find that tweet yet?
Oh, I'm sure he's got it all lined up. We're up next.
I'm shocked
we both
I
thought
haven't
the
been
same
on that
thing.
yet. Well, I mean, yeah, shit happens. Shit happens.
Well, you haven't been ridiculous assholes about our predictions either. So there's that. Just been
No.
assholes.
No. Yeah, well, I'm always an asshole. Just ask anyone who knows me.
It's true.
It's better than being a whole ass.
All right. So before we go, do you have any final thoughts?
No, be good to yourself and each other. Jerry Springer, everyone, Jerry Springer.
Thought you were going Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure there.
Now, all my final thoughts is at the trade deadline, like I say, Sean Monahan's guaranteed to go. Whatever you get for him is going to make this a successful trade deadline, because Montreal doesn't really have a lot to give away this trade deadline, unless they trade off a Savard and an Allen. But don't I'm looking at it as two ways. They're either going to do not much of anything and really just trade Monahan and maybe a little bit here and there, or they're going to go all out and we're going to see like these huge mega trades by Montreal and we're going to be like, what the hell just happened? That's what I think. That's two ways it's going to go. It's not going to be in between.
And I think what we're going to see is the Canadians be a part of a save my job trade by another GM where he overpays for something that the Habs have. And Gorton and Hughes kind of just walk away giggling.
Well, hello, Pittsburgh.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you for sending in those questions. Keep sending questions. We may at any time, we'll just pop in one of the questions and we'll go over it, because you guys come up with some really good stuff out there. And we like to include you in what we're doing. So keep sending that stuff in. Again, thank you very much for listening and making this one of the longest running, most successful Habs based podcasts run by fans and or others over the last 7-8 years.
I just want to add too, since you're talking about it, if you go to the Canadians aggregate and you go to podcasts, you go to rankings, Habs Unfiltered's third behind the Sick Podcast and the Basu Godin Notebook. Just so you know.
I'm insulted that Tony is not at his own special tier above all of us.
As a frequent guest on Tony's show, but not with Tony for some reason. Come on, Tony.
Let's always do this.
It's always with the better host on Friday. I like the Sick Podcast. I like it a lot. So, yeah. But just so everyone knows, according to the Habs aggregator, and I don't know how they calculate all this, we're third. Above Locked On Canadians. Sorry, Laura, but we're above you. We're above Locked On
Canadians. I think it has everything to do with Matt and his pretty, pretty face.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah.
Sure, shit ain't ours.
He's swooning the women in Scotland right now.
I thought he was in Africa.
Oh, I thought he was in Scotland. I have no idea where he is. He was in Scotland.
He's down.
He took a picture in front of a castle in Scotland.
I thought he was under the rains down in Africa.
I don't know. We can toe-toe
right
around this.
So again, thank you all for tuning in and listening and putting up with our garbage here, especially at the end of the show. I really do thank you all for doing that, and keep sending the stuff in. And remember, if you're talking about it, so are we.
I'm Matt Cundall, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent, almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Do, did, will, the Story of People podcast is now available on the Crier Media Network. The first 5 episodes are here and feature some incredible guests that fit into one or all 3 of those categories. Ready? Tara Sloan from the San Jose Sharks, Undercurrent Podcast at NBC Sports. Marianne Iveson from Iveson Voice and the Let's Take This Outside podcast to talk about the world of outdoors as well as voiceover land. Ariana Hunsicker, future Canadian Paralympic swimmer, already winning tons of awards for this country. Scott McGregor from the Hot Wallet podcast to dumb down the world of crypto, Bitcoin, and NFTs so you don't have to. And Jackie Holowaty from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, Washington, the first net zero carbon certified arena on the planet. Wherever you get your pods, wherever you watch your pods, and on the Crier Media Network.